Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
This episode is brought to you by Hallo, the number one Catholic app. Hallo has 1,000 audio-guided prayers and meditations for you to deepen your relationship with God. To listen to all of the Hallo meditations for free for 30 days, head to hallo.com/breadbox.
Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps, and there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can send comments through the website, plus there is also a Facebook group, which is called Catholic Sports Radio Community. There are listeners of this show in that group, as well as some former guests. There is a button for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. And do please help me spread the word about this show and tell others who would enjoy and benefit from listening about Catholic Sports Radio. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. The mere presence of 24-hour-a-day sports networks, be it radio or television, is proof that sports can be and is being talked about around the clock. It's something that people just have no shortage of content for and opinions on. And then there's us, parents, players, coaches, all the various participants, so to speak, that are a part of sports games, talking about the wins, the accomplishments, bragging about winning streaks or dominant performances. It's no wonder that there are people who get tired of hearing about it and roll their eyes. They start to wonder, can't this person talk about something else? And wouldn't the church, wouldn't God's kingdom be so much better off if some of that time, if some of that effort was put into instead spreading the good news of Jesus, but not so that we can brag about spreading his word, but rather because we are called to do so. In the New Testament, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, that, quote, "If I preach the gospel, this is no reason for me to boast, for an obligation has been imposed on me, and woe to me if I do not preach it," end quote. So friends, challenge yourself the next time you feel pulled towards getting into a debate about the greatest athlete in a particular league to instead talking about the one true Savior who we should all aspire to live like. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest drew national attention just under 2 years ago when she was nominated for an ESPY for Best Viral Sports Moment for when she threw out a ceremonial first pitch before a Chicago White Sox game. She has been a nun for more than 25 years and is part of the Dominican Sisters of Springfield. In her days as a student athlete, she played softball, volleyball, and basketball. Last year, she concluded 13 years at a Catholic high school in Chicago, including teaching theology there. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Sister Mary Jo Sobiech.
Hi, how are you doing, Bruce? Thanks for having me on.
I'm great. Thank you for being on the show. Looking forward to talking to you. So I mentioned in the intro that up until last summer, you had spent 13 years in Chicago, and nowadays, listeners, Sister Mary Jo is in Tucson, Arizona. But share with the audience, Sister, if you would, about where you actually grew up and the big family that you had.
I grew up in central Minnesota in a little town called Sauk Rapids. And my mom was a number 8 of 11 in her family. My dad was number three of eight.
Wow.
And so when they got married, they wanted to have a big family, and I have five older brothers and four older sisters. I am the youngest of 10.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Wow. So I'm part, my family itself was a team. So, yeah.
That you were. Well, last week on the show, we heard UMass Boston head men's hockey coach Peter Belisle talk a lot about his brother and his father, the latter being in the Hockey Hall of Fame. But he also was quite emotional in talking a lot about his mother. And Sister Mary Jo, the story is the same with you, meaning your mom having played a big part in shaping your faith.
Absolutely. You know, my father died when I was 11, and he had been for a couple of years. So he's a very strong, disciplined, faith-filled woman in her own right. And so when our family was going through that difficulty with my dad's death, and I was home, I was in sixth grade, my sister was in eighth grade, my brother was Tam just was a senior in high school, and some of my siblings were still at home. And, you know, mom was just rock solid in her prayer life and in her trust in God. You know, there was nothing that got my mother, you know, discouraged. She had an internal sense of God's joy that she just knew things were going to be all right. And she lived from the perspective that the glass was always half full. And we learned that, and that everything happens for a reason. And so, you know, that sense of listening to God's voice and finding out, you know, what does life really mean for us in the events of life as they happen and as they shape us. And you know, there's no crying over spilled milk. That's what my mom would always say. And so you pick yourself up and you move on. And you just believe that that God's with you to lead you forward. And so my mom was a real proponent of the rosary. We prayed the rosary together as a family during the month of October and May. And I myself, granted it's part of our Dominican tradition as well, but it's a way for me to continue to stay close to her. And she loved sports. She came to all of our games and was a real cheerleader for us. And she lived from a contemplative heart in her life. You know, she gardened. She really loved nature. And I really believe that when she was planting seeds for our vegetables and all the things that we were going to eat as a big family, that she was planting seeds of faith, too, in each one of us, in her ability to be patient and compassionate and understanding of where each of us was in our lives, and allowed us to just allow God to work in that too, and not get too overburdened by what's going on in our lives. Because, you know, we watched our mom as we grew up to be patient and trusting. And so in our own adult lives, my own siblings and I, we're pretty committed to that too. And I'm proud of us, because now both my parents are in heaven, and their spirit is continuing to certainly direct us and guide us and help us along the way, that's for sure.
Beautiful, beautiful. And you started to mention there about your mom coming to see the sports that y'all would play. And I did mention in the intro that you played softball, volleyball, and basketball. But I want the audience to understand, sports was really everything to you. You wanted to grow up to be an athlete.
Oh, I mean, my dream was to be in the Olympics. Because I grew up, I was born in 68. I graduated high school in 1987. And at that time, there was no professional women's leagues like there are now. I mean, I could have played Little League, maybe with my brother, but that, too, was just the beginning of girls being in the boys' organized sports at that time. And so I went to camps, and I played on my high school teams and things like that, and went on to college to play. But it definitely was what I would say it grounded me. Sports grounded me in a sense of discipline. I mean, I have an addictive personality. I love to have fun. I love to laugh and enjoy life. And so sports grounded me in a good positive way to discipline myself in eating right. And I knew, you know, there was a line I didn't want to cross. And so It allowed me to create boundaries for myself that were healthy. And in doing that, it's not just the physicalness of sports. It's the mind and the spirit, too. I mean, you have to have a real good sense in your head to be clear and focused and in what you're about, so you don't let the competition get to you. And so the same was for me with life. I mean, I didn't want that to happen. And so sports was, it was definitely everything. And there was a fire that burned in me for a love of it and mm-hmm. the relationships I built with my teammates and my coaches. And so I really did dream of being an Olympian. And so, as I grew up and recognizing where my life was headed, I knew that that wasn't going to happen, but that was okay for me too. The alternative was fantastic.
Sure. And nicely said. I like the perspective that you shared there. Talk about the role that sports even had when you decided to enter religious life.
You know, I was in Springfield, Illinois, at our community's mother house. I had gone there to bring a sister back from where I was teaching. And she asked if I would drive her there. And while I was there is when I really felt moved by the Spirit. Granted, you know, growing up in a Catholic family and having sisters and as teachers and my parents very in love with the church and encouraging that vocation. Going to a mother house was a real gift to me. And so while I was there, I really took in every aspect of the prayer and the sisters and the community life. And it was on one of our last days of a retreat that I really felt overcome with this sense of God just pouring God's life into me and God's love into me. I mean, I've been told my whole life, you know, I've been loved by God, but you know, until you feel it, it's just a knowledge. And so that day I felt for the first time in my life how much God loved me. And it was a fire that burned like way more than sports. I mean, I thought to myself at the time, I thought, wow, I thought sports was important to me, but I really feel like it was like God was pouring love into a glass and I was the vessel. And you know how when you just keep pouring and the water goes over the glass and it spills on the table and it goes on the floor and it's just everywhere? I could not give back. I was spilling over with enthusiasm and a sense of wonder and awe and just adventure for what God wanted to do with my life. And so it blew sports right out of the water.
But at the same time, I find it interesting that this was all happening at the same time that you were training for a half marathon. And so, you know, we talk so much about God's timing. And so isn't it just like him that here you were training for a half marathon and that's when he chooses to reveal to you what you've just been describing to us, that, oh, if you think a half marathon is great and all the sports that you've been so connected to your whole life, I've got something that's just so much better than that.
Exactly. And, you know, it sometimes you have to be moved out of your environment to see that, right? To have something like scales fall from your eyes, for the words of St. Paul, to really see. And so in Duluth is where the half marathon was. You know, it's a classic Duluth marathon along Lake Superior. And I was going to do the half marathon. And in the mornings, I would get up and, you know, on my disc band back in the days, it's like every song was a love song between God and me. The sky was bluer, the grass was greener. Mm. And so then when I did go to Springfield and to move me out of what was, I don't know, normative into something that was new, that's when it caught me by surprise, you know, and God invited me to this. And my life has never been the same, and I couldn't be happier.
So I love the perspective that you have on sports and faith and the two going together. Share with the audience what I'm referring to as it relates to teamwork.
Oh, well, you know, I think as a team, when you're working toward a goal to win, you know, your conference and to go to the state tournament and to win, I mean, you push each other. You push each other, you're challenging one another to be your best. And religious life is the same way. I mean, in community life, you know, we're working together to create something wonderful for the human family. And we rub shoulders together, and there's times when we have to push one another to be our best self in virtue and in character and in strength. And it's hard. It's hard work, and it's something that you have to be disciplined to in your prayer. I mean, I'm not a Jesuit. I'm a Dominican, but the Ignatian spirituality of spiritual exercises, that whole idea for me, too, of exercising my body to be a good athlete, but now exercising my heart, the spiritual exercises of prayer and fasting and all those things that we talk about during Lent are all part of strengthening your body and your mind to really stay focused. And so religious life is a team. That's why I said at the beginning, my family life was a team. We had to work together to clean the house, yeah, to get things done in the yard. And it was all toward a goal. And the goal isn't just our salvation, but it's the goal to bring everyone to salvation. And so how do we do that together? So I've had a good foundation.
Amen.
Beginning with my family and then team sport, and definitely now in community and religious life, for sure.
Amen. Amen. Well, listeners, don't worry. I can't have on a nun who was nominated for an ESPY and not ask her about that whole experience. But before I have her talk about that, we are in Lent now, and you will be hearing, as Sister just said, a lot about prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. You don't need me to tell you how to pray, and certainly everyone has their own form of fasting that you engage in. But with almsgiving, I think there's a tendency to say, I actually don't know what I'm supposed to do differently. And so that's when I would ask you to consider something that you might consider a little non-traditional, which is supporting me and what I've been doing every week for more than 2 years now. You've heard me say on a few episodes here and there that there's something like 5 or maybe 6 hours that it takes for every one episode of Catholic Sports Radio that I put out. Plus, I've said quite a bit that this is all just me, a one-person operation, doing all the writing and recording, editing, booking the guests, promoting the show, doing the administrative tasks, and so on. This is my ministry, and as you've heard me detail on a number of episodes, I certainly do get challenged with a lot of expenses to keep Catholic Sports Radio going, but I don't get any income from doing this, nor do I have any sponsors. So if you like what I'm doing, if you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio, if it's helping your faith life and you see value in everything I put into this and deliver, I'd greatly appreciate your support. There is a convenient way to contribute, which is the Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. It's easy and secure and allows you to contribute in whatever amount you wish. There's no drop-down menu of amounts. There's no minimum. Alternatively, as some others have done, you can instead get in touch with me through the contact section of the website and ask me for the mailing address to send a check to. Regardless of which method you use, I do truly appreciate everyone who contributes and will even happily say your name on Catholic Sports Radio or give you a public thanks via social media. Or, of course, as you've heard me say on past episodes, others have just chosen to keep it anonymous. I would greatly appreciate your prayerful consideration of a contribution to Catholic Sports Radio and helping me to continue on and give back with my time and talent in an effort to move more people closer to Christ. Sister Mary Jo, go ahead and share with us about that experience with the first pitch at the White Sox game and how that quickly went viral and turned into an ESPY nomination.
Oh, wow. Well, our school was celebrating its 60th anniversary. We opened in 1958, so this was in Marion Catholic High School in Chicago Heights, Illinois. And so in 2018, in celebrating that, we had a promotional night at the White Sox game. Major League Baseball does that for colleges and high schools and things. And so our band played the national anthem and, and you know, the people that are present there, you know, the sponsoring school community gets to have someone throw the pitch. And so knowing that I was an athlete, our administration asked if I would be willing to do that as one of the sisters to represent the 60th anniversary of our community having the school. And so I said yes. That was always a dream to me, too, to be on the mound of a Major League Baseball field. I mean, how incredible is that? And, you know, I called my college coach, Sue Johnson Northey, and I said, hey, do you think I can do it? She said, absolutely, MJ, for sure. you got to throw from the rubber, though. And I said, oh, absolutely. You know, I got to be all in for this. I can't be going halfway. Nothing. I've never done anything halfway, so I got to really go all the way. So, you know, I had spoken with my sister, one of my older sisters, and she said, you know, Mom, my mom loved the Minnesota Twins. And she said, Mom's going to be your angel in the outfield. Mm. And I said, yeah, she's definitely going to be there for sure. And so when I got out on the mound, I knew I had practiced the night before at our school's baseball field. And I knew I needed a little momentum to get it all the way there. And so that's why I did the bicep bump. It took my mind off of it to make me a little bit more relaxed. And it also gave me a little momentum to just kind of get myself moving and just gun it to the plate as if I were, you know, in center field catching a ball and going to throw somebody out, you know, trying to tag on me. So that was my attitude. But before I did it, I pointed to the sky and I just kind of gave a little prayer to my mom saying, okay, Mom, you got to help me get this ball over the plate and into that glove. And sure enough, it happened. And, you know, I had no idea that it had gone viral till about half hour later. It was just an incredible moment. And the best part about all of that was the people in the concourse wanting to have a picture and you know, of course, seeing it on social media before I did and all the hype about it. One of the women said, Sister, would you have a picture with my daughter? And I said, sure. And I was always asking them, you know, what's your name? How are you? God bless you. And this girl, her name was Louise. And we were in the outfield. And wouldn't you know, Bruce, that was my mom's name, Louise.
Amazing.
And so she certainly was my angel in the outfield. And that was the best moment of the whole thing.
Wow.
Just that confirmation that Mom was there. And then, of course, it wasn't until later in the summer that I had gotten a letter saying that I had been nominated. And it was just really profound. And going out there and, you know, I met up with Muffet McGraw from Notre Dame. And some of our students had gone to Notre Dame and played basketball for her. And so we had a nice time together. And then the red carpet was just a real, that was a moving moment for me too. You know, I'm in the midst of this worldly, you know, all this glamour and glitz.
Yeah.
And, you know, what came to me was God sees the soul, not the swag. And I thought, yeah, here I am with my white habit on this red carpet. And I thought to myself, these are those who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb.
Wow.
And that for me was what the red carpet was. I thought, God has put me here for a reason. People that see this nun here out of place is what, for some reason, God wants me exactly there to be a presence, a message that I didn't have to say, but just by my being there,
yep,
provided a sense of God's presence,
yeah,
amidst all that otherworldly, you know. And so it was a really nice moment. I enjoyed it and really gave thanks for all the, you know, just the publicity that allowed me to really speak about my love and my joy for the gospel.
Absolutely.
That's really what it's about.
Of course,
yeah.
Of course. And listeners, I'm going to put a link in the Facebook group, the Catholic Sports Radio Community Facebook group. I'll put a link so that you can see the video in that Facebook group of Sister Mary Jo throwing out that first pitch that you just had her describe. I would love for you, Sister, to share about what you call a spiritual triathlon that you completed at Lourdes.
Oh, I had a profound gift and opportunity to take a group of kids to Lourdes on a pilgrimage. Well, we went to World Youth Day in Madrid in 2011. To see Pope Benedict. But prior to that, we went to Fatima and to Lourdes. And, you know, I grew up listening to all those stories. And matter of fact, today is the feast of Francisco and Jacinta, two of the kids from Fatima who were part of that those apparitions. Today's their feast, so God bless them. And so all of that was just, wow, an excitement for me to actually go to the place that I had been told stories of. And as I said earlier, my mom's love for the rosary. And so in going there, I told my students who I was with just to kind of leave me alone for the day because I wanted to just make a real silent prayer day on my own, and they kind of did their own thing and respected that. And when I went to the grotto in the early morning, I had a profound experience of God's love again for me in the Eucharist. And it was there, actually, it was in 2011. And I had a feeling, my mom was sick at this time, and I had a feeling, you know, that my mom wasn't going to make it through the year. And it was as if our Blessed Mother was telling me, you know, I am your mother. And so it was a security, kind of a strengthening me in my prayer to be prepared for that.
Yeah.
And so in the Eucharist, I thought to myself, you know, and of course I'm moved to tears and a lot of emotion. And I thought, I'm going to make a triathlon of sacraments today. This was a profound just experience of Eucharist. And I'm going to find a priest and go to confession and make a confession beyond all confessions I've ever made in my entire life. And because I think sometimes you go to confession, we hold things back. And, well, I'll tell this, but not that part, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm telling all. This time I'm in Lourdes, France. Who's going to know? These priests are here to hear it all. And so I did that. And then, of course, to renew my baptismal vows and go to one of the pools and be submerged. And, you know, you strip yourself. I mean, and these women were so compassionate. And it was just a real a commitment, again, to my faith and my love for God and God's love for me. And it was just really, really moving. And I've never forgotten it. And
sure.
And anytime I find myself moving away from something, I those are touchstone moments that I go back to.
Mm.
And as God would have it, my mom did die in April of 2012, but not before I could share with her all of my experiences there at Lourdes.
And, outstanding.
And so, yeah.
Wow. Wow. Well, from one international location to another, talk about the trips that you've made to Mexico and the work that was being done by the groups that you took there.
Oh, we were part of a mission core group that came to Marian Catholic. And I took seniors, junior and senior girls, on trips to Puebla, Mexico. And we would re-roof houses, and you know, because they just have that corrugated like a shingle on their roofs, and the heat just dries it out and weathers it, and it gets holes, and so we would re-roof homes. We built a new home for a family.
Wow.
We raised enough money 1 year before we went, and we had materials to actually build a concrete block home for them on their land. Right by their farm. We've gone to Cancun. Now, someone would say, well, what kind of mission is Cancun? But in those remote areas are very poor. And throughout the trips that go, sometimes, you know, you're part of a process of building. And so when we got to this village, the church had already been built. We did some of the painting and artistry and things like that, and then did some catechesis in the community with the kids.
Nice.
And then the other gift of that is the ability to go to Mexico City and to Our Lady of Guadalupe. So I've had the privilege of being there a few times too. And so it's in keeping really with my mom's love for the Rosary and Mary. And she had gone to Yugoslavia, and so I feel like I'm making a pilgrimage to all the major Marian sites. And so it was really, really awesome.
Well, and as fascinating as those trips outside the U.S. might sound to the audience, I want people to understand about the difference that you can make right in your own city. Sister, share with the audience about what you are doing with students while you're in Chicago as it relates to homeless people.
You know, every one Saturday a month, we would try to go downtown Chicago. I had some parents in our community who owned a subway. Subway sandwich place. And so she would give me the bread, and there were teachers at school that would buy the bologna and the cheese, and the kids would bring in some other things. And I had people that gave me donations. And so I would go to, you know, some of the grocery stores, Aldi's, and get some things. And we would pack lunches on any given Friday night, take 100 lunches, take them to the convent, and then the kids would come in the morning, and we'd pack our backpacks, and they would bring whatever jeans or hoodies or blankets or whatever they wanted to give away. And it, wow. And it was suitable to the time, you know, whether it was the fall or the winter or the spring months when we would go. And we would get on the train, the Metra, and we would go downtown from the school community there, which was, it's about an hour drive on the train to get into the city. And then we would just kind of pan the streets of Michigan Avenue and State Street, and they would go in their groups. And a lot of times people would say, "Sister, do you have any chaperones?" I'm like, "Well, it's kind of just me and the Holy Spirit, you know?" I mean, the kids were, they loved it. I mean, young people want to give back. You know, there is a lot of hope in this generation. I have a lot of hope in this generation of kids who they want to serve, and they see the injustice. And so they would walk around and say, you know, we're missionaries from Marian Catholic. And we always had a little prayer and a pep talk before we left the convent saying, sure. You know, this isn't about us. This is about returning dignity to the human family. And people walk by them and don't recognize them. And we're about raising them up. And so you get to their level and ask them, what's your name? You know, they're living something difficult. What insights and lessons do you have to tell us about your experience here? And so it was just, that's what we would do as often as we could. And of course, sometimes the weather didn't permit it because of the snow and the cold. But it was, and my being here in Tucson this year, I've had a student contact me and say, "Sister, I know it's the pandemic, but a group of us girls want to get together and do what we used to do." And they asked me about some of the things that we did so that they could go ahead and do it. So that was awesome, too, that they're continuing that.
So good. Uh-huh. Well, final question. We've talked a lot about what you have done, meaning past tense, but present day, I'm sure that if someone told you back that night when you threw the first pitch out at the White Sox game that at the beginning of 2021, you'd be living in Arizona and learning Spanish, you'd probably have given them a rather puzzled look. Tell the audience about where you are these days.
Well, you know, the greater percentage of the Catholic Church in this country is Hispanic. And the truth of the matter is we don't have enough ministers to work with them. And so I wanted to learn Spanish. And at Marian Catholic, I had a great group of kids and a growing community of students there and families at Marian who were Spanish speaking. And I just see the need for it. Our congregation sees the need for it. And so I asked if I could have an immersion experience to learn Spanish so that I could really, as the church continues to grow, to put myself in a position to do the more, maybe, of what God might be inviting me to next, to learn another language. And that whole challenge to learn another language really requires a lot of listening. And so that, too, goes along with prayer. And it's not just about learning Spanish. It's about learning what God wants of my life now. Yeah. And how am I hearing his voice in a new way speak to me? And so that I, too, can respond to that. And so I live with two Dominican Sisters of Peace who are native Spanish speakers and native to Arizona. And I'm going to Pima Community College and taking courses in Spanish and working at a free kitchen mission on the south side of Tucson for the homeless. And it's just, it's a really good opportunity and experience to just be present and to be available for the outreach that's needed, especially in this time of pandemic. A lot of people are in need. And so that's where I am, and who knows where I'll be. But it's, again, I feel that same energy and excitement for the adventure as I did when I was first called in 1993, so I know I'm in the right place.
Wow, just beautiful, just beautiful. Sister, it's been great having you on the show. Thank you so much for making time to come on Catholic Sports Radio.
Oh, thanks,
I do appreciate
Bruce. It's been my pleasure. It has been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And listeners, you know that not only do we always close with a prayer every week, but you know that on the episodes where I've had a member of the clergy, I defer to them to do that. So Sister Mary Jo has been kind enough to agree to do the closing prayer for us for this episode. So Sister, if you would.
Oh, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Creator God, you have gifted us with many gifts. We ask you to open our minds and our hearts to your Spirit, to your fire that burns in each of us. Help us to not fear the invitations that we receive, the inspirations that are given to us to respond to your voice. Help us to be aware of others in our lives and to not shy away from the pain that we experience, as all of it has lessons for us to grow in holiness and perseverance and strength in following you and taking our cross these days of Lent to really to be your disciples in this life. And so we ask you again to strengthen us with your Spirit and to give us the courage we need and the grace we need to respond and to say yes, as Mary did, to give birth to you in our world. And so we ask all of this in Jesus' name, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.